Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
Recording.
I'm sweaty and I smell.
You do. I can't smell you from here, but I am just...
Smell-o-vision. That would be a terrible fucking idea.
Happy to assume that you smell.
It's a safe assumption at this time of year.
It is horrendously warm here, and I imagine it's getting quite warm there as well.
Dude, it's supposed to be like 43 or something fucked in Canberra on Thursday. 41 on Thursday.
Yuck. Yuck, 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 yuck.
I'm now just happy that I have recently taken the very large air conditioning system at the gym that we don't use because it's so horrifically expensive to cool an entire warehouse, and diverted the whole thing into one vent so it pumps into my tiny little office and I can only run the air conditioner for like 5 to 10 minutes at a time before I need to put a jumper on. It's so cold.
So did your whole thing have like ducted aircon or something?
Yeah, so you know how like there's the, we've got kind of two sides. There's the one side where we have the comp set up.
Yeah.
The warm-up room set up was actually like an office space.
Yeah.
So we knocked a bunch of walls down to open the whole thing up.
Yeah, yeah.
So because it's got a false, like a floating ceiling, it's got an air conditioning system in there. And it's like a big industrial unit that does the whole thing. But it's just like cooling a gym's horrifically expensive.
Of course.
I'm just not willing to pay that. But... I'm now spending more time at the gym working in this office, which faces west and just gets hounded by sun from about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it just becomes a fucking oven. So we diverted all the vents off and blocked it, the whole thing off. So it now pumps the whole system into one vent in this, like, you know, this office would be 5 meters by 2.5, 5 meters by 3 meters. And it's like a fridge, man. Like I close the door and it pumps air in for 10 minutes and then I need to put a hoodie on.
Yeah.
It's great. And it makes working actually bearable.
Yeah. I've been talking to a lot of gym owner friends about this, like, because I looked at getting big ass fans put in.
Yeah.
And they quoted me for two fans and they wanted $17,000. And I was like, yeah, no. Not right.
Yeah, they're super expensive. They're really good though. The climbing gym I go to has one.
Yeah.
And it moves a bunch of air around.
They do. They definitely move the air around, but you kind of become resigned to the fact that when it's like 36 degrees and 90% humidity that you're fucked.
It's just going to suck. Yeah. Yeah.
No matter how much air you have blowing on you, it's fucked.
Yeah.
Like without aircon. And I'm not air conditioning mm-hmm. the gym unless someone wants to invest like 10 grand a month into electricity.
Yeah, man, that's the thing that I had someone once tell me that they were unwilling to come and do this powerlifting course in winter because they don't handle the cold very well.
Yeah,
and I said, well, you understand that like this is a unclimate controlled warehouse, and so when it's not cold, it's really fucking hot. Like, yeah, no worries, I'll be back in summer. Okay, cool. I haven't heard back from them.
No, maybe it's because
it would. Maybe. I wouldn't rule it out.
How was the Burley Christmas party?
Yeah, really good, man. We had a great time. Just went down by the lake, ate a bunch of Turkish food, drank some beers, had a good time.
Sick.
It was fun. There's now like we have had an influx of Burley juniors over the last couple of years. So as everyone gets to the age where they start throwing kids around. And so, yeah, there was talk of a competitive baby throwing competition, which quickly was diverted once we'd had a few beers. But otherwise, it was a nice time.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was good. Good to catch up with everyone. And at those sort of things, I always like to stand back for a minute or two and just appreciate that, you know, we had 35 or 40 people there who were all from different walks of life and who probably wouldn't know each other apart from the fact they all go to the same gym. And so I always enjoy standing back and just appreciating that for a moment or two. It's nice.
It's very heartwarming.
Indeed, indeed. And yeah, it's a good way to round out a year, I think.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. So what are we talking about today?
Equipment, cheating. I mean, being really strong.
Mm-hmm.
The illusion of strength, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. So, first piece of advice would be, like, if you're a single person looking for a potential life partner, don't take someone who's equipped, because if they're willing to cheat on their lifting, they're willing to cheat on you.
We should just end the episode there. Oh, I don't know what else we can say with that. Wow. Wow.
Sorry.
Jeez. You really dug us both into a hole there. fuck. Yeah, well, I don't know how to follow that. Really.
So we've had quite a number of questions recently on this. Actual questions, in fact, not the made-up Instagram ones.
Yeah. Actual questions of just people, I think, certainly after you spoke to Bryce, which was a conversation I really enjoyed listening to. Yeah, I think I've had a few people express interest in the topic, and like we've got a couple of people at the gym who have you know been lifting for a couple of years and kind of got into the raw thing for quite a while, and then been somewhat excited about the prospect of trying something a little bit different.
Yeah,
and that's where I think, and I was just saying to you before we started recording, I think we're at a point where Equipped will kind of see like just a little bit of a resurgence. It's never going to be what it was, because no one wants to squat 8 inches high with 7 million pounds and pray to God they don't explode. Well, a select group of people do, but they all sort of reside in Ohio. Yeah, I think it's a sort of a next step for some of these people that are, for lack of a better term, powerlifting lifers, and who are maybe getting just a bit restless with a sport that is quite monotonous, and are looking for a new challenge. And I think that's where equipment is a really cool skill to play with, because it's such a different skill to raw lifting. Like, there are obviously some huge crossovers, but there are just some things that people don't really expect or don't really understand, and you can't really understand it, I don't think, until you try it. Because
mm-hmm.
So much of it's just about the feedback that you're getting and the feeling you have in those positions that you and I can talk about because we've both experienced it, but it's very hard to empathize with someone if you haven't actually felt the feeling of your eyes blowing out from the inside because of the pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, the feeling thing is a good place to start, I think, because in terms of describing the difference between equipment and raw, it's something that's really hard to put into words, because you think of people's like gateway into using equipment. I don't think a belt counts, but things like wraps, knee wraps, and slingshots. Yep. Knee wraps and slingshots.
Yeah, they're definitely the sort of intermediate point.
Yeah, they're so nice and so cushy and springy.
Yeah, they feel great.
Even a really tight knee wrap, you know, you get that level of discomfort, but the difference it makes to the pop you get in your squat is really noticeable, and compared to the discomfort of equipment, it's nothing. Yep. And so describing to someone what being in equipment feels like, because when you think of like aided lifting, you think elastic, you think springy. And it's not that sensation.
It's definitely a different feeling to the feeling of that springy pop you get from a slingshot or a pair of wraps.
Yeah.
And a lot of it comes from just the feeling of like walking to the bar.
Yeah.
I was telling the story about squatting 400 the other day. I was like, oh, so I walked up to the bar. I was like, no, it's probably better described as a waddle. I like waddled up to the bar and kind of wedged myself under it. And yeah, it's if you've never seen it before, it's funny to watch.
You essentially become the little green army guys off of Toy Story. Like your feet are almost like connected, and you just have to like shift your hips side to side.
You have to just kind of rock from one leg to the other.
Yeah, like describing that discomfort of the suit itself, like I lifted equipped in a competition last weekend, and my legs are still cut to shreds. Like I was a little oversized for my suit, and the suit was really, really
festively plump. It's the right season
festively plump. Yeah, the suit was really quite harsh on the old skin, especially when the skin's not used to it.
Yeah, and man.
when I came back from overseas, I just chucked on the suit because I was a little bit littler than usual, and I don't know, I just felt like it. So I did a squat, and that eye-popping feeling, beyond that, imagine like full body pins and needles, but the pins and needles are your capillaries kind of exploding. It like travels upwards, like from the bottom of your chest to the top of your head as you're going down. It's and you're concentrating on like controlling this weight and focusing on your technique, but you get these weird feelings popping up, and it's so hard not to be distracted. It adds in this other element of skill that you have to learn.
Yeah, man. And it's something that definitely takes a lot of just graded exposure to. I don't think the idea is as much as it used to be. I think people probably understand equipped a little bit better than they did, say, 5 years ago. But I think there's... excuse me. I think there's a more of an appreciation of the fact that it's not just magic. Like, you can't just put on a squat suit and expect to squat 100 kilos more than you currently do.
Yeah.
And that's where I, like, the way I describe the difference between equipped lifting and raw lifting to people who are uninitiated into powerlifting in general is to use the analogy of pole vault and high jump. The idea being that, like, pole vault and high jump, in essence, are both sports that test how high you can jump. In one sport, you get to use a piece of equipment that allows you to jump higher. And the two results are never compared. They're two separate sports. And not all good high jumpers are good pole vaulters, and not all pole vaulters are good high jumpers. Mm-hmm. Because there's a skill element to using that giant stick that flings you over the thing. So... that's the way I describe it, and that's the way you've really got to think about equipment when you're getting into it. It's really got to be not just I'm going to throw it on and have some fun with it, which is where things like slingshots and wraps, when you don't use wraps normally, come into play. But with equipment, it's got to be about this idea of like, okay, well, I'm going to commit a period of time to learning this to actually get the most out of it and probably get to the fun bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first part of equipment's not always super fun because it hurts a lot and it's uncomfortable and it's so different.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because it's a learning curve again.
Yeah. Yeah. So to dispel a really annoying myth to begin with as well, people often talk about, or a really common question that comes with it is like, is the technique any different? And I wouldn't say, when I hear people say that equipped lifting is more technical, I think that's bullshit. It's not more technical. You're performing exactly the same movement. The technique is exactly the same. The way you got to look at it is that it's more precise. There's less room for you to have shit technique. And more than that, if you're in equipment, you get punished for having shit technique. The way you got to look at how equipment works, it's not like a slingshot. It's not elastic tension necessarily. Think of the suit or the shirt wanting to put you into all the positions that you really don't want to be in. So in a squat suit or a deadlift suit, it's trying to cave your knees in. It's trying to round your back. It's trying to put you into all these shitty positions. And if you have the stability to resist that force, if you can create torque against the suit, then that's what provides you the pop. So you can't have shit technique and just chuck on a suit because you're going to get really fucking punished for it. And those are the people that chuck on a suit and get a little bit more out of their lifting, but not a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and then like it never progresses from there. They just end up bombing out of every comp they do.
Yeah, or getting fucked up.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I think the nuance of technique is where equipped comes into the discussion. I know that, or I believe that the time I spent in equipment relatively early in my powerlifting career, that was sort of how I got into powerlifting. I definitely developed an appreciation for precision and process and all of those sort of ideas that you and I now harp on about all the time.
Mm.
But I think having spent time in an environment that forces you to be so incredibly technically sound, that definitely improved my understanding of the way I move, but also the understanding of the mechanics for the lifts themselves. Because essentially, especially with things like a bench shirt, if you're fractionally out of position, everything just falls apart completely. Like the amount of times I've had really heavy weights just like a millimeter or two in the wrong direction, then suddenly you've got this 200 kilo bar falling on your face and you have no control over it. The nuance is much higher, but then the fear factor that comes with super maximal weights is the thing that adds a whole nother element of danger to it as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The bench shirt example is perfect. So one of the most popular, or probably arguably the most popular single ply bench shirt is a Super Katana. And people will always talk yes. about how the groove of a Super Katana is super sensitive, right? If you're a tiny bit off, yeah. then you're just going to get punished for it. But think about that with Raw. At a max weight, if you're a tiny bit off, you're going to get punished for it. It's just that because yes. you are so super maximal, there's no way of saving it. You know, if you're a tiny bit off with a Raw weight, you might be able to muscle your way out of it. You're not going to muscle a weight that's, 100 kilos over your Raw max. Just, has to be precise. Equipment is more volatile. That's the way you got to look at it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where the discussion about it being more quote unquote technical comes in. It's exactly like you said. More precision is definitely the idea.
Yeah. So if someone comes to you and they're wanting to get into it, where do you kind of start them?
My suggestion is always to start with relatively simple single ply stuff. If it's like we first have a discussion about like, okay, if this is something you want to do, we've got to set some realistic expectations about how long it's going to take and what you're getting yourself into to get the most out of it. I'd like to have a really extensive collection of secondhand powerlifting equipment that I can like let people try out. I just don't. I haven't, like, I've got all my equipment, but unless you're exactly the same size as me, it's probably not going to work very well. So on that front, it would be glorious to have a Supercent and a Katana in, or an F6 in every size imaginable, and just be able to go, here, this is about the right size, try this and we'll have some fun and see if you like it. So generally my advice is start with some single ply stuff and just put it on and do some singles and doubles and triples. Like I think there's no need to drastically change the exercise. Like, you shouldn't just start doing box squats because you've got a squat suit on. You shouldn't start doing three board bench in a bench shirt. I think the easiest way to learn any of this stuff is to get in it and just get an appreciation for what it feels like. Get used to that eye popping pressure feeling that you'll get at 85% of your Raw max, because the suit just changes things completely. So I think with like a squat suit, I generally go to Titan and tell people to get a Super Centurion or a Centurion. And then bench shirts, I'd go like an F6 or maybe a Katana if you're a little bit stronger and a little bit more technically proficient. I think Titan are probably the best when it comes to single ply gear, and it's most evident by the fact that everyone in the IPF that competes in single ply, most of them wear Titan anyway. So the Titan Australia service is great. So that's sort of where I start. And then it's just about learning it by spending time doing it. I don't think there's any special exercise. I don't think there's any special training program to follow. I generally just add it in as essentially an assistance exercise or a secondary exercise on a squat day. And it's more about just playing with it and getting a feel for things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in that first few months, because chances are you're not going to get anywhere near depth in your squat suit if it's at all close to the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
You probably won't get very close to touching in a bench shirt. So it's just about finding the pattern and getting a feel for where the suit wants to push you and how to resist that urge.
Yeah, for sure. Like I'm very much on the same pattern of thinking as you when it comes to learning it. It's just chuck yourself in the deep end. Like, you have to try it out. There's not really a good gateway besides saying use the lowest grade of equipment if you can get access to it. Otherwise, find something that's used. If you've got someone that you know that has lifted, equipped, and has something of a similar size, and use something that's too big for you. Don't try and don't size yourself up and buy something to your fit, because you will be severely, severely disappointed. Because stuff that fits, stuff that's the right fit equipment wise is the wrong fit logically. You know, a shirt, a t-shirt that fits you is a t-shirt that you can slip on. An equipped shirt that fits you is an equipped shirt that takes 25 people to get on, kind of thing. Not literally.
Yeah, my shirt was never that tight. I like needed a little bit of help getting my arms through the sleeves, but otherwise it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, like
my suit.
I've only ever needed one person to help me get into a shirt, and I can get into my suits by myself. Yeah, it's like get into the
shoulders a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Having Velcro straps on a squat suit definitely makes that easier.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, if you can get access to something that's too big and that's slightly used, that's going to be your, I guess, the easiest or the path of least resistance with learning stuff.
And the cheapest.
And the cheapest, of course. For me personally, like, I didn't learn in like an F6 or anything like that. My first shirt was a Super Katana, so I really chucked myself in the deep end. But I had the guidance of someone who was very experienced in equipment teaching me the whole way. So I feel like I got a bit of a head start with that. I mean, the hardest thing and the most, difficult thing to find information on is how to put the shit on. Legit. Like if you can't fit into it, there are tricks to help you get in, you know, like how, even it's all well and good to say use plastic bags or use slippers or whatever, but even knowing how to use those things, it's just weird at first, you know. So having someone help you who knows how to put the thing on, because like if you get the sleeves of a shirt slightly torqued differently to each other, you're gonna have a real fucking bad time when you bench. Just little
or
things,
or if your
like
squat
that.
Suit's not seated. Like if you squat, the suit of legs and hips of your squat suit aren't seated properly,
you won't
get anywhere near depth without your knees caving in.
And it'll just round your back and feel like you're getting crushed.
Yeah, exactly. It's a funny thing to watch people do for the first time. As a coach, I always enjoy it because I can empathize and I've been through the experience. Yeah, like my first squat suit was a Metal Pro, like multiply wide stance suit. And I started squatting in it because I broke my hand playing footy. And I was like, well, I'm just going to squat 4 days a week. And one of those days, I'm going to put a suit on and see what happens.
Yeah.
And it was great. And then I've actually only ever squatted in multiply suits. I don't think I've had the right size single ply suit to actually squat in.
Yeah.
So I did the same. I threw myself in the deep end and learned a lot of lessons in the process. I mean, you can look at the difference in the video of my 400 squat where I was like toes touching the monolift, proper West Side style, to where I squatted 410 and it looks like the same squat I did, you know, 5 days later when I competed raw, just a half a foot width wider. So I think that's the biggest thing, is you're not necessarily going to change your form drastically. Like you said earlier, the movement itself isn't any different. Just the pressure and the feeling you have fighting the suit is going to change things. And the only way to get accustomed to that is to do it.
Yeah. Probably one of the most difficult aspects, let's say if you do go from like raw to your first equipped training cycle, is calculating and mitigating the changes in training. Because like if you're an experienced equipped lifter and you lift all the time equipped, you compete full time equipped, the training principles don't really change from when you're raw. Like if you're going off RPEs or percentages or whatever, the fatigue considerations aren't that great because you kind of adapted to, it's no longer super maximal. So the fatigue that you're generating from it is kind of like at a base level of fatigue, right? If you're new and your max squat is 200 and now all of a sudden you're doing 270 for reps, you know, you're going to have to account for the fact that that's going to really fucking beat you up.
You'll probably feel like you got hit by a bus.
Yeah. So while I'm of the opinion that when you're training equipped, that not a lot changes volume intensity progression wise, when you are fairly new to it or you're incorporating it for the first time and maybe that disparity between your raw and equipped is quite big, you're probably going to have to take into account some considerations around volume and intensity just because you are going to get really taxed from lifting heavy. Like try 3 weeks in a row of just regular training, regular percentages based off a max, but it's super maximal by, I don't know, 20-30%. You're going to feel like shit after that. You're going to feel like you're being hit by a truck. And learning how to manage that and plan for that, that's probably one of the most difficult aspects outside of the skill of equipment itself.
Yeah, and that's where I encourage people to not even really think about the idea of doing equipment with the view that you're going to do a comp, to more add it to your regular training as just something that's a bit different and it's a new skill to play with for the first few months. We've got one guy in the gym at the moment, Darren, who has been playing with squat suits and bench shirts, and it took him, like, he did what you said not to do and he bought a shirt that was the right size for him. And because he was like, you know, I'm going to buy a shirt, I may as well buy it. It's not my money, so you do your thing. But it took him probably three and a half months to get a clean touch.
Yeah.
And that was like a once a week bench session where all he did was bench in a shirt and maybe some really light shoulder accessories.
Mm.
And you know, there was first couple of sessions he got a touch by like folding himself in half completely and getting completely out of the position that the shirt wants you to be in, and then touching and then not being able to press. But just by gradually working, not with boards or anything, but working doubles and triples to just work on finding the groove and getting each one a little bit closer to touching. And we finally got one clean touch out, and he was like, all right, cool, I'm ready to do a comp. Let's pick a comp and do a comp. I was like, all right, well, like now you've shown that you can persist with learning the shirt enough to really get something out of it. Now you can start to think about training it like you would a comp lift. But up until that point, I tend to lean towards just play with it as a skill rather than worry too much about the nuance of programming it effectively. Because like in Darren's case with the squat, for the first five or six squat sessions, he wasn't squatting anything over his max weight.
Yeah.
Because he was just dealing with the pressure and dealing with the ability to control his position and how to get to depth and what that was going to feel like and where depth is and those sort of things, which are all the things where having someone who knows what they're doing helps.
Yeah.
Because you know, I can stand there and go, yeah, you're definitely still high squatting, but you're holding your position better and you've just got to fight that feeling a little bit more. Because 2 inches above and 3 inches below feels the same in a sense. you don't actually know the difference at all. So you really need someone with some eyes, I think, to do it at least relatively effectively early on. It really helps. And it really helps to have someone in the room, I think. You can do it via video and like as an online coach, but having real-time feedback set to set and being able to talk through a video and do those sort of things is where you're going to pick up the nuance of, oh, like I just let my hips shift a little bit, or I just folded in half a little bit, and that's why that particular rep felt like garbage versus the rep before it. Having an eye for those little things is very useful.
Yeah. Yeah, that proprioception aspect is a real hard thing to wrap your head around. That knowing where you are in space, you know, like knowing how deep you are, knowing how far off the chest you are is really, really quite tough. I think you get a really good a good gauge of that if you try deadlifting in a suit, because you think, oh, I don't have to go down very far. You know, you set yourself, you reach for the bar and your body just stops. And you're like, I'm like 2 inches away. It's like reaching for someone's hand when you're hanging off a cliff. You're like, I just got to make that last 2 inches.
Yeah.
And
by that point, it feels like your eyes are going to explode and you need to take a breath and like, yeah.
Yeah, it would be my reason when people ask me, you know, why do people suck so much at equipped deadlifting versus squats and bench? Because you have to create the eccentric load. There is no eccentric.
It's really fucking hard.
Exactly. Yeah. So in a squat, you kind of hang on for the ride and you guide yourself into the right position. In a deadlift, you have to force yourself down there and resist the force of the suit wanting to do other shit. You know, so that
without any external load to help stabilize those positions.
Yeah. So for me personally, I find it really difficult to do conventional in a suit. Because it's so hard to resist the force of it rounding you over. Whereas in sumo, because I'm well averse at the skill of sumo, I seem to do okay in a sumo suit. Plus, my hips are shit, so the suit does all the work.
Yeah, nice. I never actually deadlifted successfully in a suit. Because I never bought a deadlift suit that fit.
Yeah.
So I played around with deadlifting in a suit that was too small for me, and then I played around in deadlifting in my squat suit. And
as in your multiplayer?
At one point, yeah, it was fucked. At one point, I think I got to like 200, and I tried it both conventional and sumo with the straps down. And both reps rocketed at a pace that I've never experienced with that much weight on the bar to like mid thigh, like just above my knee. And then it was like I'd run into a brick wall. Like the suit stopped helping and suddenly I was just stuck in limbo where I like didn't have any leverage, couldn't actually, like I could hold that position for a little while, but I couldn't actually apply any force and move the bar at all because my start position was so incredibly compromised by the suit getting in the way. So I just went, fuck this, I'll just deadlift raw and squat big and that's how I win comps, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean that's another important point when it comes to equip stuff. You kind of have to have a base level of prerequisite strength to handle the loads when the suit is doing less work. So at the top of the movement, at lockout or at unrack on squats and bench, you need to have quite a good level of, you know, overall tightness or overall skill in tightness, because, you know, you might have legs that are strong enough to lock out with 400 kilos, but if your max squat is 320, maybe your upper back and your bracing isn't quite up to scratch, and that's where you're going to get hurt, you know. So that's where the concept of, you know, high boxes and board pressing and all that stuff, that's where they've all come from, and chains and bands as well. That was sort of a big part of the whole point of having those things, is kind of overloading the lockout where the suit is doing less assistance. But that's it's always a shock to the system when you first start.
Yeah,
you know, when you unrack something, you know, getting that mindset of, oh, okay, it feels like it's killing me, but once the suit is helping, maybe I'm going to be able to do it. So you really, you know, taking a leap of faith sometimes with equip stuff.
Yeah,
you take it down to your chest and hope that the suit does its job.
Basically, right? That's the psychological head fuck that I think people are often unprepared for.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I squatted 410, my best squat in a belt and wraps at that point was probably only like 250, maybe 255. I was very good in a squat suit. Mm. I got a lot out of a squat suit. I had the ability to really hold my position, and I never wore briefs. It was always just the multiply suit by itself. And I think I worked really well in it. I got a lot out of it. I was very good at using the suit for what it was, because I wasn't very strong.
Yeah.
And that has essentially meant like I'll never get under a squat and be scared again in my life.
Yeah.
Because I'll never squat 400 raw, because I don't want to. And that, having gone through that as a psychological ride of like, well, I've really got to rely on my technical capabilities and all this training that I've done to get under a load that I've never attempted before. And I've got some pretty big misses in my book. At one point I had the biggest miss in the country. it was great. And yeah, it essentially has changed the way I think about the mental approach to training. Like I'm never really going to be scared by a big squat or a big bench raw, because I've held that weight in my hands. So there's definitely an advantage to that for sure. But it's a whole separate ball game getting under something that is so much above what you've ever touched raw, and then to be able to control that fear element while also executing as close to technically perfect as you can, because otherwise you're going to crumble into a fucking heap.
Mm.
That changes the game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, this is one thing that we touched on in that other conversation with Bryce, the carryover from raw to equipped and vice versa. It would be really unwise to say that there's no carryover between the two. I actually do think that there is a strength carryover. I think there is a great deal of benefit. How can you measure that? Well, you can't. But there are a huge amount of other carryover points, like attributes that carry over. That sort of psychological thing is huge. And I have much the same experience. I'm not really scared of any weight. I don't panic about what's on the bar. And I do have a belief that really changed after I did that sort of year long equipped stint. I think that really changed my mindset around, you know, not being afraid of weights, really understanding the importance of the setup and the tightness and the eccentric and all of that stuff. So yeah, when it comes to the idea of carryover, the way I explain it to people when they ask me, it's like you can't look at it as just strength. You got to look at all the other attributes that come with the skill of equipped lifting. There are a host of benefits that are going to carry over into your raw training. It's not quite as simple as like, will this help me lift more weight?
And that's why I try and frame that conversation around it not being something that you're doing to improve your raw lifting directly, but it being something that you're doing to challenge you mentally and physically in a new environment, in a new skill. And when I think when you frame it like that, you then open the door to the conversation about the carryover being mental and in the process and all those sort of things in a way that makes it easier to grasp for some people. Because those intangibles, especially if you haven't been around the sport for very long, those intangibles are intangible for a reason. You know, they're hard to measure. And guys like you and I who've been around the sport for a decade and who've experienced both ends of the spectrum can speak to its value. But I think there's a lot of people who just poo-poo the idea without really thinking about why you're doing it and potentially what the benefit outside of just direct weight on the bar is.
For sure. I think that's a really good way to end it, unless you've got any other burning points for our equipped friends out there or people wanting to delve into equipped life.
The rules don't change because you're wearing a suit or a bench shirt. The rules stay the same. The depth is the same. None of the demands are different. There's nothing that changes. It's just a different way to lift. So if you can keep that in mind, then perhaps you'll get more white lights than you do red. And potentially that will improve your competition results. I think there's sometimes an expectation that equipped lifting should be judged differently or the standards are different or something like that. I fucking find that so infuriating.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the case. You know, like you and I have both lifted at a high level equipped. We've both got red lights for lifts that deserved red lights. We've both got white lights for lifts that deserve white lights. You know, it's not an excuse to squat high. It's not an excuse to be shit. It's just a fun new skill that you can learn. So if you do it well, it's heaps of fun.
Yep.
Heaps and heaps of fun. I loved the years I spent lifting equipped. I'm in no rush to do it again, but I had a great time doing it. So if you're bored with powerlifting, maybe try equipped.
Sounds good.
Or if you just want to tell people that you're stronger than you are, which is still my go-to. What's your best squat? 410. I don't tell them about the suit. That's the trick.
Exactly. All right.
See ya. Lie to your friends. It's great.
This sounds good.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend. Sweet. I'm sure we'll do this again soon.
It sounds good.
We're now so organized that this is like 2020 and here we are still in 2019. 2020? Just recording this like professionals.
Sweet. All right. We'll talk to you all again very soon.
Tell your friends. Goodbye.